After September 11th, my guest Joel Meyerowitz got special permission to be at Ground Zero, documenting the slow process of removing the World Trade Center's remains. After several weeks photographing there, he returned to the project he was supposed to be working on, photographing Tuscany, whose natural beauty was the ultimate contrast to the hellish landscape he'd been immersed in. His book, Tuscany Inside the Light, has just been published. The text is by his wife, Maggie Barrett. They were married in Tuscany shortly before September 11th. Meyerowitz was contractually obligated to go to Tuscany and finish his photography book. Nevertheless, I wondered if he felt almost guilty for leaving behind New York and Ground Zero.
It was wrenching. I have to say that I would be away in Tuscany and I would be thinking about, what am I missing? They're still working down there. And I had become so much part of the rhythm of that place. But I did leave the first time in January at a point when there was a kind of plateau. They had cleared away most of the surface debris and were beginning to go below ground level. And there was a sense that, you know, they were mining. And I just knew that I could leave for that period of time and it wouldn't be so far advanced when I returned that I would feel I had missed a huge period in the work. And I was right. I came back and I stepped right into it and it felt, you know, the familiarity of returning to someplace you know well, and suddenly I was in it again and I didn't feel I missed anything major.
People who go to Italy often come back talking about the light. What do you have to say about the light in Tuscany and how it changes from season to season and from sunshine to rain? What are some of the qualities you're working with?
This place is, well, like every place in the world, unique to itself. But why it's unique came to us after a number of years of observation. This particular valley called the Val d'Orcia, which is below Siena, is composed of a kind of white clay. Oddly enough, it's an incredibly nourishing clay. Things grow there phenomenally. Wine, olives, wheat, sunflowers. It's a rich land, but it's got a white base to it. It's not black earth or rich American earth. And so when the light rains down in this valley, and because it's a valley, there's a particular kind of moisture always trapped in it. So the valley itself has a kind of pearlescent quality. It's as if the air in the valley is illuminated from within because sunlight striking the ground rises up from the ground. It doesn't suck up the light because of dark earth. So there's a funny kind of glow around everything. And we became aware of this, and it infused the photographs that not only I made, but my students made. And so it began to suggest itself to us as a very unique phenomenon in this particular location on the face of the globe.
And how does that glow get affected by changes in the weather and changes in the season?
Well, in the wintertime, the valley is one of those places that holds the moisture longer than any place else. So when you awake in the morning, there's always fog, which could be dismal if you're living in Norway. But in Tuscany, even in the winter, there's sunlight. And so it penetrates this fog, and then it raises it. So you have the changing of the day every day. And I felt that the wintertime was almost the most exciting season of the year.
Joel, one of the books you're well known for is about Cape Cod, and particularly about the light in Cape Cod. How would you compare Cape Cod light with the light in Tuscany?
Well, oddly, they're completely different, but they share some wonderful qualities. Of course, Cape Cod is a spit of sand, also light-colored, surrounded by water. So there's always a kind of an atmospheric moisture that rises off the surface of the water, sort of cooked by sunlight, and it splinters the light almost prismatically. That was my sense of what it was like to be on the Cape, that there was a kind of purity to the way light fell. When you're on the mainland, inland anywhere, there's always particles of dirt in the air, whether it's pollution or dust, who knows. But those particles, if you think of a little drop of dust in every molecule of moisture, it reduces the light somewhat. But in Cape Cod, there's no landmass to speak of. And so the air seems to be purer, more glowing. And so there was a kind of radiance. I used to say it was almost shadowless, is how it felt. So the Cape has its glow from the waters around it, and the Val d'Orcia has its glow from its substance, what it's made of, this clay which is good enough to be made into pottery. So it has a kind of glass-like reflectance to it.
There's a certain type of beauty that I think has almost been, well, ruined might be too strong a word, but there's a certain type of picture or picture postcard that captures this like perfect scene, and we've come to think of it as scenery, or as like, it's like a picture postcard. And as lovely as it is, it's predictable and cliched. Do you feel that, Joel, as a photographer, there's a certain type of image that's kind of been ruined for you by that type of perfect image or perfect scenery? And how do you try to get something that goes deeper than that?
You're absolutely right. The wallpaper that Tuscany has become is sort of there by the yard. Almost any photographer can stand anywhere in Tuscany in the countryside and point their camera and clip off 70 degrees worth, you know, with a 35 millimeter lens, and you have Tuscany. And if you put into it cypress trees on a hilltop with a church nearby, or, charming sheep on the road below, you can make something that everybody has seen in the postcards. So part of the challenge was to avoid those things that we all know already, that have ruined the experience for us, and try to get into a place where the surprise, the freshness, the innocence of observation could make its way. And so I avoided things like the fields of sunflowers and all of these lollipop trees. And then one day, towards the end of our work, in the fall actually, we were driving through a valley, and there was fields of sunflowers, all of them heads bowed, brown-stalked, drooping flowers, and it looked like the dead marching off the battlefield. And I stopped the car, we both gasped, and got out and stood amongst them. And what I felt was that they had served their day. They are now going to be turned into useful produce. And they were a kind of a vast hoard that was accepting their death. The season had brought them to this. And I made a photograph that, to me, is one of the darkest and maybe even most daring pictures in the book, because it's anti-beauty. It isn't about the familiar gloss that sunflowers make. It's about the reality of the life cycle. And I think often, for me, photography isn't about making a frame. It's about having a moment when I wake up, where I think, oh my God, this is happening right in front of me. And that kind of awareness, that kind of mental process, is for me where the ideas of photography and the act of photography combine in a way and perhaps allow us to make something new.
Photographer Joel Meyerowitz, his new book is called Tuscany, Inside the Light. The text is by Maggie Barrett.